looks like is different for everyone. Welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. I'm Sherry Doherty, and together we'll explore what finding your way home truly means, whether you're buying your first place, making a move, investing, or choosing a different path altogether. Because home isn't just a place, it's a feeling, it's a choice, and it's personal. Tune in Mondays at 10 a.m. and start finding your way home. Well, coincidentally, it is Monday at 10 a.m. and it's time to find your way home. My name is Sherry Doherty and I have the pleasure of being your host every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Again, this week, I have a special guest in studio with me because I do love to bring in local industry professionals. So today I have with me Joanne Smith, and she is the owner and founder of Coming Out of the Closet, which is not what you think it is. Welcome to the studio, Joanne.
Thanks so much, Sherry, for having me.
I'm very excited to unpack for everyone what Coming Out of the Closet does for people. So why don't we jump on in and tell us what you do, why you do it, and a little bit of backstory, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually a certified professional organizer. I got the name of my business as I was redoing my own bedroom closet, wallpapered it, came back to take a look, and I went, I just jumped out of the closet.
That's awesome.
So hence the name came to be. But that's my specialty, is organizing people's homes, doing their closets, doing garages, doing basement storage areas, kitchens, pantries, just, you know, weeding out the old stuff, bringing in the new, making it look pretty, making it, most importantly, more functional. That's part of my business. I do wallpapering as well, and I'm a partner with an online auction agency.
Okay.
To allow people that are either moving out of their homes or downsizing to sell their goods online and not have to do that themselves, especially if it's a personal nature, if it's, you know, been a family member that's either gone to long-term care or has passed away. They don't want to necessarily be firsthand dealing with that, so I step in and help them out with that.
All right. And is your typical clientele someone like seniors, like you said, an estate, busy professionals? What do they look like?
It's all over the map, really. I've had a little bit of both and some corporations as well. I've actually, my first job was here at Queen's University.
Oh,
yeah.
So, do tell. What did you do here at Queen's?
Yeah. So I was referred from another organization to actually go through all their yearbooks from 1903 to present and be able to archive them year by year and keep one very good copy for basically a showcase in a lounge area they were going to have in the Summerhill building. So as I was coming here this morning, I got to walk right by my old alma mater, I'll say, and the old medical building, which is where I did the work. And they had storage in both buildings, so I was responsible for moving everything out of one room, bringing it to another, and then organizing it from there.
That's really, really interesting work, and I have so many questions, so I'll just go back to where I think I started in my brain. Mm-hmm. How does one become a professional certified organizer?
There are courses that you can take,
okay.
And the course I took is actually a lady from Windsor.
Okay. That is Canadian.
Yes, absolutely. She lives, as I said, in Windsor, and her company is called Clutterbug.
Okay.
And she defines four different organizing types by bug names. So there's a cricket, there's a bee, there's a butterfly, and I can't remember the third one,
okay.
Or fourth one rather. So she provides a quiz that we're allowed to use,
okay,
to find what your organizing style is.
So, oh, I want to do that.
Yes. So it's quite fascinating, and you're often not who you think you are.
Okay.
So whether you're uber organized and you have to have all your staples in one little section of a drawer and then your paper clips in another section, or if you have a drawer that you throw everything in.
Right.
Those are completely two to organizing styles. Or if you have to have everything in clear containers so you can see inside, or you want everything behind closed doors so you don't have to look at it. It's another type of style. So I was following her and watching her, listening to her podcast and watching videos, and I thought, you know, this is something that I've always been wanting to do.
Right.
An organizer at heart, I think. And so I took her course and here I am.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's funny because I have several early memories and I want to be uber organized. My life doesn't permit me to be because I live with several other people in my household and I have a busy, active life. But I have a very early memory of visiting a friend and her sister had her nail polishes all organized in a row, color coded.
Yes.
And she actually had little circles on the wallpaper, we'll call it, okay. And it had to go in the right hole.
Yes.
And I had so much respect for that, even as a child. I thought, I want that for my life. Mm-hmm. I never accomplished it mm-hmm. because I am the person who has a nail polish box.
Right. So, which is a perfect organizing system.
The same place, yeah. But it's not exactly aligned in its appropriate hole and color coded, but they're all in the same box.
Exactly.
So I got that far. Yeah. And then I absolutely respect and admire someone who has a label maker.
Too.
I'm sure you do. I wish I had a label maker. And even if I had, I might actually have one. I just have so much stuff. But mm-hmm. if I had one, I would love to be able to have time to use it. So sometimes I'll show houses mm-hmm. and they'll be in the basement, these beautiful boxes that'll say yarn and knitting needles and Christmas decorations and all these perfectly organized things that I wish I had the time to do.
Exactly.
And then we have this one client, and then I'll stop, but mm-hmm. we saw the most organized garage ever known to man. And of course, my husband and I were just in garage envy over it. But this guy literally had on his tool cork board an outline of where the tool went.
I've seen that.
And it was like this size of wrench and then that size of wrench and then mm-hmm. the next size down, and they were perfectly organized. And this was the same guy I sold his house for him.
Okay.
He had a binder with every piece of paper since the day he owned the house. Mm-hmm. So all he had to do was hand it over to the next owner. And that is literally a realtor's dream.
Oh, I was going to say, it must be a realtor's dream, yes.
Oh my goodness, yes. Absolutely. I'm just proud of the fact that I have mine in paper files in the house, but I definitely
and
am
you
not
know
the,
where they are and right. what room.
Yeah. I'm not the organizer that I want to be, but it is so important because they say cluttered space, cluttered mind.
Exactly.
And so is that what called you to it as a profession?
I think it's something that was instilled in me. My mom was very everything in its place kind okay. of person. So, mm-hmm. you know, we had to sort of live by that growing up. And then, of course, once you hit your teenage years, it's like everything, you know.
Not do what my mom told me
exactly,
to do.
You know, mm-hmm. and yes, of course all my clothes are supposed to be on the floor, whether I wore them or not.
Right.
And it wasn't until I got my own space, I think it was, that in my own room, that I was moving in and I had all my clothes on the bed and I said, I'm going to color coordinate
right.
all my clothes by category.
Okay.
So I've got all my T-shirts next to my blouses, next to my pants, next to my skirts, next to my dresses kind of thing. And everything went from white to black.
Right. Okay.
In every category.
That sounds beautiful.
And I've done that ever since.
Okay.
I have to have coordinating hangers. They all have to be the same.
My husband's got a hanger issue as well. Hangers don't bother me, but I feel like my husband for our entire life has always said we need more hangers because they need to match.
Yeah.
And pillows. He's got a hanger issue okay. and a pillow issue.
Yeah. I can.
Not sure about that.
I can certainly comment on pillow issues. Yes. As my basement is overflowing with them.
Right. Right.
But that's kind of how it started. And then it just went on for them. So then it was my shoes, and my shoes had to all be laid out in color coordination. So I could pick out an outfit because I am not a morning person. And so if I have to decide what I'm wearing to work that day, I don't want to be scrambling through my closet. Where's that black T-shirt? Mm-hmm. When I know it's going to be after the gray one.
Wow, that is so impressive. I love that. Now, this wasn't your first career, though. So
no,
can you share
not.
With us all what you did in, let's call it, the first half of your life?
Yeah. So actually, I started my career in banking, started as a secretary in Toronto, and then went into becoming a teller supervisor, and then sort of went up the ranks, became a management loans officer, and then finally became a branch manager when
fun.
I was 33.
Okay. And that's young. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah, so I was a branch manager for 20 years and had me move from I started in London, moved to Toronto, and then had a young family. We opted to move to Eastern Ontario here, and I worked downtown Kingston when I first moved out here. So I stayed in banking until 2021, went through the COVID years. I'm not going to talk about that.
Nope, we'll just edit that part.
No, that's the most disorganized part of anybody's life, and opted to retire early and just take some time off. And that's when I thought, I'm going to develop this business that I've had an idea about. I'd already incorporated the name.
Right.
Registered the name. I'm not incorporated. So I thought, you know, let's start with baby steps and, you know, let's get some business cards out there. Let's talk to realtors because they're selling houses that people need organization.
Or people sure do.
Yeah, and they need it to go into their next house to have mm-hmm. some sort of organizing system or just get them set up so that they're pre-packed so that it's not, you know, a stager can come in.
Okay.
And, you know, and the photographer can come in, a videographer, and not everything's all shoved in the corner of the room. So that's kind of where it started. I thought I'd, you know, deal with realtors, and then I was started getting referrals from other, like, businesses, and then, you know, they were happy with my work, and they referred me to other, and it's just been going steady now, I'm going to say, for 3 years.
That's good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I do love an entrepreneur story.
Thank you.
Particularly love a female entrepreneur story.
Yes.
I'm sure we met through networking as well.
100%.
Actually, we had a mutual friend that worked at the bank is probably where we met the first time.
Exactly.
And then we kept connecting. And I think, you know, the universe wanted us to be friends because it kept putting us in the same place at the same time.
Yes, exactly.
But I think I've mentioned this before. Kingston is fabulous for networking activities, particularly for women.
100%.
There's a lot of opportunity if there's any female entrepreneurs out there who are interested in just figuring out how to meet new people.
Mm-hmm.
There's great ways to connect, so they can reach out to me at any time and I'm happy to put them together. There's a great one this Thursday that we're both
going to,
with Women Mean Business, which is going to be great, with Gabby Eaton.
Yes, and I met Gabby several years ago when I was in banking, and we've remained close contacts as well, and she sort of gave me that little push that I needed because I was going through a real difficult time in my life, we'll say. And she was very supportive of me. So I've admired Gabby and what she's been doing for the last several years as well.
Well, we'll have to tell her that we're saying nice things about her on the air today.
That's right.
And her event on Thursday evening.
Yes.
Okay. So tell me what your suite of services looks like. And if someone reaches out to you, kind of what does the process look like from start to finish? So the initial conversation to sending them an invoice for the job. What does that look like?
Okay, so it depends, of course, on the job. Most recently, I've been doing a lot of auction sales.
Okay.
So I've been getting referrals directly from the auction house because they're based in Toronto. So anything in Eastern Ontario, I'll get to vie for the business. So they give me the contact information, the address, and if it's something that I might be interested in, they give me sort of a general gist of, you know, what needs to be done and why. So I'll contact the client, let them know their availability, what their deadline is. So if they've sold a house or they're in a rental or, you know, they're rented out a room and they need somebody else to go in there, whatever the case may be. And then if it's close by, I'll set up an initial consultation. So I'll come out and do my own assessment.
Okay.
And then give them an idea of how long I think that's going to take. So I'll come in, I'll take pictures of all the objects that need to be sold. I'll list them by number and then catalog them as well. And then when I go home, I organize all that, send it into the auction site, and publish the actual auction.
Okay.
And then I monitor it as it goes along and answer any questions that might come out of, you know, certain lots. And then the day of pickup, I'd be there on site as well. Sometimes I'll bring some of my coordinates with me to help out with that auction. So for safety reasons, security reasons for the client.
I get it.
Yeah. I want somebody to be at the door to make sure that they're there for the auction, take ID if they've bought a lot of you know, stuff from the auction and their invoices are over $300.
Yep.
Also, if it's a multi-level home, I need somebody that'll be, say, in the basement monitoring that as well as on the main floor. I did one that, you know, there was outdoor equipment and stuff, so I needed somebody out there as well. So it's very, you know, well-coordinated that way.
Good for you.
Yeah.
It takes a team. And your safety is super important as well. You're
100%.
Speaking to a female realtor.
Exactly.
I am keen on safety.
Absolutely, yes. And oftentimes the owners will be there on site. I recommend not, only because it's a personal thing.
Okay.
So depending on why they're having the auction, if it's, for instance, a, you know, a dear one has passed away and, you know, their stuff is being walked out the door, I don't want them to be there. It's, you know, let's remember what it was like before as opposed to the afters. If it's a happy memory or they're moving, I had clients that were moving across country, so there's a lot of stuff they couldn't take with them. So they were on site to direct people down their country lane, and let them know where to park, and could only allow so many cars in the driveway because it's how many they could accommodate. So they were integral, you know, to the organization of the auction pickup. So, you know, it depends on the circumstances. But and then, like I said, so I'm there for the pickup. I've got a catalog of everybody that's purchased items, what they purchased. And so often the night before, I'll group all those items. So when I get to the auction site, I can start gathering. If they bought, you know, the cutlery and they bought a couch and they bought, you know, I can put stuff together. So when they get there, they know that everything's in one space and they can take it away.
Okay. And that, I imagine that would be a full day's job. Are they not?
Depending on how many items.
Okay.
Yeah, so the last auction I did had 149 items, and it was about 3.5 hours.
Okay, not too bad.
And then I had one that was over 600 items, and that was 2 days.
I bet.
Yeah.
What is the most interesting thing you've ever been asked to sell, or surprised item that got as much more money than you expected it to?
Oh, well, there's a couple of things. So right now there's a real keen interest in mid-century modern furniture.
Okay.
So I had an auction downtown Kingston, actually, that the lady had passed away, and her sisters were liquidating her stuff, and she had some mid-century modern dining room furniture, an arc lamp, and bedroom furniture, and it sold for a lot of money. And I was surprised because it's not my genre of furniture,
right,
necessarily. That's what I grew up with. I don't want to see that again. But it's making a comeback. So items sold for well over $500.
Really?
Each.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Yeah. So that was a surprise one. But I also did one for a gentleman whose wife had passed away, and she had a horse farm.
Okay.
He lives in Alberta, and she lived here in Ontario. So it was horse equipment that I've never really been privy to.
Right.
So luckily he was on board to tell me what a rein was versus what a halter was,
right,
whatever.
Okay.
But he had two cutters, which I didn't know they were called cutters, but they're one horse open sleighs.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I also didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he had two of those that each of them sold to a young families, which I thought was so fascinating that the kids came to the auction to pick them up, mm-hmm, and they trailered them out. And I just thought they're going to have so much fun going around their property,
right,
on this one horse open sleigh.
Well, and I love seeing items passed on,
yes,
to be given new life.
Exactly.
And to see someone give purpose to those items again.
Exactly, yes. Especially nostalgic items like that, the,
yeah,
newer stuff, you know. And I always say, your stuff is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it.
I say that about people's houses.
Yes. You know, because you paid $6,000 for the couch and it sells for $500, that's what it's worth to somebody else.
The market will let us know what it's worth.
Exactly, exactly. And then sometimes, once again, it's a surprise. You paid $6,000 for it and somebody just paid $5,500.
Right.
And it's like they could have bought a new one, but they chose to not
buy
have
yours.
This one go to landfill or whatever, right?
Right, which is also good.
Yeah, responsible purchasing as well and selling.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really do like that. And then what about the wallpapering part of it?
Mm-hmm.
How often, I'm thinking back to a house that I sold recently where they had the coolest wallpaper in really smart, strategic places.
Oh, yes, yes.
And there's some great wallpaper.
Oh, it
these
is.
Days.
It's made such a comeback.
Fancy, funky,
yes,
really cool.
And murals,
so tell
again.
Us, I know.
Yeah.
Tell us about some wallpapering jobs you've done.
Yeah, so I've always done wallpapering for myself and friends and family. It's just something I've done since I was a kid, I think. Strange person that I am. And then I got some referrals through friends and family, and then now I'm getting referrals from designers.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a real coup. So the first one that I did was an old farmhouse in Joyceville, and they had just moved there from, I think it was Ajax.
Okay.
And I just did like a feature wall in a bedroom just to give it
Love
some
it.
Character.
Mm-hmm.
And she was thrilled with the work, so she had me come back a couple months later and do the other bedroom. And then they built an addition and had me come back and do their... they had a gorgeous brand new bathroom / laundry room,
okay,
that had exposed brick in
oh
there.
Oh my gosh.
So the wallpaper she chose for it was just phenomenal. It just went so well. So that was sort of my first client. And then they, you know, were happy to give me a, you know, wonderful review on,
right,
on my website, sorry, my Facebook page. And then I've just been able to pick up some others. I'm doing one right now that you would love, sure.
Okay, I can't wait.
It's a mural, and it's very moody, I'll say.
Okay.
So it's like a forest, but in fog.
Oh.
Yeah, so we've got gorgeous greens and, you know, like oranges, burnt oranges, and that sort of color in it, and it's actually in their bedroom.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we're just waiting for another piece to come in because they kind of messed up the order. And once that's done, I'll be taking pictures and showing that on my Facebook page. And they also had me do a mural in their dining room, which they're just so thrilled with as well.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
Yeah, and it's just like you say, it's just feature walls. It's just adding a story to the room. And it's almost going back to when people would have hand murals done, mm-hmm, in farmhouses or whatever. It showed that they had some wealth,
mm-hmm,
and wallpaper then as well. So it's sort of coming back. And just something simple, I did the back of two units that flanked a fireplace.
Okay.
Just to give it some depth and character. And it was like a faux grass cloth.
Oh, neat. Okay.
Yeah. So that was, you know, a simple wallpaper job, but but it was still fun to do.
Yeah, I can tell that you love what you do because when you talk about it, you light up. You actually are smiling and your eyes light up and you're excited about the projects that you're working on and the people that you get to assist.
Yeah.
I love that because you know people are doing what they're meant to when they light up, when they talk about it that way. So I love that for you. And I wish the listeners could see that as well, but we're not on video today.
No, we're not.
Which is okay because I'm having a humid hair day. So let's not be on video. Let me flip back to organizing then, and I'm going to ask that we give our listeners some tips, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So what do you think is a good tip for keeping your home organized, or one of the biggest mistakes people are making when they maybe think they're organized, but they're not?
Well, once again, everybody has an organizing style. Having a messy junk drawer is somebody's style, whereas having, you know, little plastic containers with different things in it is somebody else's organizing style.
Right.
What most people make a mistake is they get overwhelmed.
Okay.
They want to do a room in a day.
Right.
Do not do a room in a day. Do start with 5 minutes and do that junk drawer. Just go through it, grab all the junk that's really junk and throw it out. And then, you know, even just little cardboard boxes, put them in there just to start that organizing process. And then maybe do your cutlery drawer the next day or whatever. Or do a, you know, under the sink in the kitchen or the bathroom. So it's just something that you feel accomplished when it's done.
Okay.
And then, you know, even if it's a week later, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this other drawer now. And maybe that will then lead to, I'm going to do two or three drawers because I'm going to move that from this drawer to put it in that drawer. And of course, you can't just do that. You have to take everything out of those drawers to rearrange, right? Same thing with a closet. Just do part of a closet. Just go through all your shoes and say, okay, which ones do I still wear?
Right.
Which ones do I don't? Do responsible, you know, either
donate
them.
Just donate.
Yes. And that's what
there's, I don't think there's shoes that should be thrown away.
No.
Unless they're like completely torn and tattered and have no purpose anymore.
Yes.
Someone couldn't use them.
Use those. Absolutely.
There's so many people in need.
And that's the one objective I have when I do organizing jobs or auctions. So auction items that don't sell or people don't come and pick them up for whatever reason, or they're getting rid of stuff, they're downsizing. I support local charities here in Kingston.
Good for you.
Yeah, so one of them is Red's Rack.
Okay, and, I don't know that one.
Yeah,
I thought I knew them all. Yeah. Tell me about Red's Rack.
Red's Rack is a young lady, and I think she's got a couple of other volunteers that work with her, and they collect clothing, blankets, tents, sleeping bags, shoes for our unpopulated, or sorry, our unhoused population.
Okay, interesting.
Yes. So she's one of the first ones I'll give clothing to, shoes to, sweaters, coats, that sort of thing. The other organization is Loving Hands here in Kingston, and they accept similar items, not so much clothes, but household goods. And they will, if you fill out a form and have furniture, they will know if they need it for a family and will come and pick that up and deliver it.
Okay.
So that's how I got in touch with them myself, is because I had an old box spring that was brand new, and I found out about their organization. They came and picked it up from my house and delivered it. So they help out our population that has been recently housed.
Okay.
So we're going from one step to the other kind of thing and getting people, And the other donation I love to support is Habitat for Humanity.
Yes.
And bring things to the restore.
That's great.
Yeah.
I love that you're doing that. Yeah. There should be very little that goes to the trash.
Yes, yes. And if that's the case, and that's because stuff absolutely has no place elsewhere, then I have some people that I employ to come and pick that up and bring it out for me so that I'm not having to deal with that. They've got trucks, they've got trailers, and that's what they do. And then they bill me and, you know, I don't have to worry about that part of it. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask you about some of my problems.
Yes.
How does one properly organize a Tupperware drawer?
Well, first off, you have to sort everything. Make sure you've got the bottom and the top.
I don't.
Yes.
There's more lids than bottoms.
Okay.
And I feel like every time I do it, I've got it, and then somehow more lids appear.
Yes.
I'm not sure what happens.
It happens all the time. So what you could do is take the lids and bottoms that do match.
Yeah.
Find the pieces that don't match. Put them aside.
Okay.
Put them in a box in another room. And if you've had to go into that box in the last 6 months, then you need that lid.
Because I found the bottom for it.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
If you haven't,
garbage.
It's time to go.
Okay.
Recycle.
Ready to go. Recycle that, right?
Yes.
Now, here's my question. I know this seems silly and really detailed, but it makes sense to me to store the container with the lid on it so that they're together. But they take up so much more room because you can put like four and then four bottoms.
Yes.
But then, I don't know, they all move. I don't know what happens.
Yeah. So you're better to stack them if they are stackable, like bowls.
Yes.
You know, obviously larger, middle size, small size. And then I put the lids underneath.
Yeah.
Or you could put the lids on top. And then you can stack more stuff on top of that
as
well.
Okay.
I have actually switched completely from plastic and only have glass.
Okay.
And I have a drawer just for that. So I can use that glass for mixing things. I can use it for storing leftovers in the fridge. But I can also use it for, you know, for storage instead of plastic.
Okay, that's a good idea, actually. Because I would also be more careful with that because I care more if it broke.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they have different sizes. And, like, you can use them almost like a mixing bowl as well.
Right.
And so it's one thing. It's a dedicated drawer just for that. I know exactly where I'm going for it. And then I have a little container that I keep all the lids in separately.
All right, bro. I'm going to come to your house.
Yeah, I'll take a picture and show it to you.
See what's going on there. And then what about linen closets? I see some beautiful linen closets.
Oh, absolutely.
And in a lot of cases, the towels are rolled.
Yes.
Versus folded.
Yeah.
And ours are folded poorly because, you know, people come along and grab one and then don't fold the other ones.
And
so what do you suggest? Baskets, rolled?
Well, it all depends, once again, your lifestyle. Okay, you have, several people in your household, so everybody's going to fold differently, for instance. So I'm not a firm believer, actually, in linen closet. I like to have the linens where they belong. So I have an ottoman at the end of my bed that I keep all my sheets in.
Okay.
So that way when I go to change my bed, I just pull another sheet set out, and those are my sheets. They're not my sun sheets, for instance.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
The towels I store in my bathroom.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes
and
sense.
I did the rolling thing. It's a nuisance. It really is
it
a nuisance.
It looks nice, and particularly, I guess, if you're selling the house, you open and go, wow, look at the beautiful linen closet.
Yeah.
But you open mine right now, it's not a wow. Yeah. It's a wow. What's going on in there?
And in that case, absolutely, with a basket with a little tag hanging off it saying these are hand towels, these are bath towels or whatever, and then shove them all inside.
Right.
If that's your thing, why not? Then it looks pretty from the outside, but nobody else has to see what's inside.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's when you open up a linen closet and you have that moment.
I know.
Because you're just seeing the fronts of the baskets.
Right, which is beautiful. Yeah. What about, we're seeing a lot of people right now who are removing closet doors.
Yes.
And that's a trend. I actually have a house up for sale right now that has no closet doors, and people keep telling me there's no closet doors. And I keep saying, yes, they're doors. You can buy new ones.
Yes.
That's not a reason to not buy a house. Just for the record, folks,
no, it's not.
You can buy new closet doors.
Right?
Also, people are a lot using curtains.
Yes.
Because they don't take up space when you maybe wanted to put a desk behind where the door would open. Now you can put a desk there. And so do you like curtains there or do you prefer doors?
No, not particularly.
No, you're a door person or no doors?
Actually, I have three rooms right now that have no doors.
But I bet your inside is organized.
It is organized.
Okay.
It's just I'm not organized in getting those doors put back on.
So is it intentional the doors are off?
Not necessarily.
Okay. Understood.
It is in a way. So one of the rooms is my bedroom. And because it is, I built a whole organization system for my bedroom closet. And it's pretty to look at and it's wallpapered.
Well, then you want to look at
it. But I
want to
look at it. And it's easy to go there in the morning and pull out what I want. But I do have barn doors that I want to put up.
Beautiful.
And it's just a matter of getting somebody to install them.
Okay.
And the same with the front hall closet. I didn't like the doors that came with the house, so I got rid of them. And I've purchased new doors, but it's getting somebody to install
them. Well, there's some slow projects.
Yeah.
always some slow projects on the go, right?
Exactly. And so I've got a whole bunch of those little things that I always thought I could tackle, but
life
got in the way.
Okay, so those are my personal sore spots. So the Tupperware drawer, the linen closet, the garage, but we won't even touch on that. That's a whole episode. What else do you commonly see as a sore spot, I guess, in people's homes that may be less organized than it should be?
Often, like an office space in a home that can be multi-purpose. So sometimes people have an office that's also a guest room, that's also the kids' toy room or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, you close the door, nobody gets to see
it. Well, you think if you close the door, no one sees it.
Yeah, unless you're selling the house.
That's my theory on that. Yeah. Well, if you just close that door, it doesn't exist in there, right?
Yeah, but multi-purpose rooms can be really functional and they can be really, really pretty as well if the right systems are in place. Or even same thing, as you mentioned, curtain in front of a closet. You can have a curtain that divides the office space from the kids' toy space, for instance.
True.
So kids can still play while mommy and daddy are, working, and, they can still see them, but they're not You still have a backdrop if you need to do a video, for instance.
Perfect. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a ton of great information and ideas. How would someone get in touch with you if they wanted to?
Well, I don't have a website, but I do have a Facebook page under Coming Out of the Closet. My email address is joeisorganized@gmail.com, and that's J-O-I-S organized@gmail.com, or phone me at 613-539-4381.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on air with us this morning. I really appreciated all your tips. And to you and all of our listeners, I hope you have a wonderful day finding your way home.
I've never met a doll I didn't like. If you are a fan of Dal or Lentil Curry too, listen to The Dal Project on CFRC 101.9 FM, Thursdays from 5:30 to 6 p.m. Join me, Sayada, in learning to cook many kinds of dal or lentil curry from across the South Asian diaspora while talking about culture, migration, and memory.
the same car going on a decade. Scribbles on junk now don't draw attention. I never really noticed, but now that I mention it. There ain't a lot of boys named Gary these days, born with a cigarette glued to the face. Fix about anything a hammer can't handle, saving all the money cause a Gary don't gamble. Ain't a lot of girls going by Debbie anymore, but they got the same nicotine pouring out their pores. Time leaves town, but the minute hand stays. There ain't a lot of boys named Gary these days. Gary these days been worried about the bad news. There ain't a lot of teenagers filling up the church pews. Burning bush lights don't talk to his brother. Do people even still say grace before supper? Hey, there ain't a lot of boys named Gary these days, born with a cigarette glued to their face. Fix about anything a hammer can. Saving all the money cause a Gary don't gamble. Ain't a lot of girls going by Debbie anymore, but they got the same nicotine pouring out the pores. Time leaves town, but the minute hand stays. There ain't a lot of boys named Gary these days. With the light out on the front porch, a hard medication poured down where the drain pours. He holds his left arm while his parakeet prays. Has anybody seen much of Gary these days? Has anybody seen much of Gary?
That was Nashville-based Stephen Wilson Jr. with the song Gary, a single he released in November of 2025. And the show opened with award-winning British artist Leon Lajavis with Weird Fishes, a track from her 2020 self-titled album, one that seamlessly fuses a number of musical genres, including jazz, soul, and R&B. Hello, everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, another 90-minute journey through the past five decades, scouring the globe for artists from varying degrees of popularity and genres. The point of it, mostly, is to introduce listeners to artists they may not know, but to also show that music from different areas and eras can still sound good when paired together. And we'll put that to the test with this next set, as we take a 30-year jump from the start to the finish, with the first two tracks from the 1990s and the last two from the 2020s, starting with one of popular music's best disappearing acts in the British band The Sundays. From their 1992 album Blind, this is Goodbye.
We'll be right back. checking in to get a pulse for who I am and the shape I'm in. I'm driving east in my sedan, counting the days I've been out on my own. Freeway lines blending with dial tones. You swear I changed. You can't relax, our photographs don't look the same. But it's hard to laugh when every joke feels out of place. So we just stop and stare, wondering how the hell we end up here. Oh, and now I see I can't bend into the shape you need. Cause I'm the same old me, and you're the same old you. Took a couple tries to realize no matter what, there's nothing we could really do. Cause I'm the same old me. It's been 3 weeks coping with self-help books and bottle therapy. And buzzing only had so much when I smoke weed. I don't go out these days, cause everybody has something to say. And I think we both know we'd be better off if we let go. Cause I'm the same old me, and you're the same old you. Took a couple tries to realize no matter what, there's nothing we can really do. Oh, I'm the midnight oil, you're the ocean deep. There's nothing left to prove, it couldn't make the mountains move. Cause I'm the same old me, and you're the same old you. I dropped a few things off last night. I'd stick around, but I hate small talk and loose ends and long goodbyes. Yeah, I'm the same old me. You're the same old you. It took a couple tries to realize no matter what, there's nothing more that we could do. So let the curtains fall. Let the credits roll. I hope you win more than you lose. Taking $1 million. You know there's nothing I would change.
That was a Staten Island native who records as Chrissy with Old Car, a single she released in September of 2024. And she was preceded by Vancouver-based John Bryant with Same Old You, a track from his 2025 album Street Level. And the British band James with the song Sometimes from their iconic 1993 album Laid. The Sundays started that set with Goodbye, a track from their 1992 sophomore album Blind. This is No Chords Barred, hosted by me, Donald Finnegan. And I'll be right back after the break with the next half hour of the show. Welcome back.